Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to A Christian Manifesto today, episode number 29. My name is Daniel White III, president of Torch Leadership Foundation, pastor and Christian philosopher. Dr. Francis A. Schaeffer warned us, that is, this country and the world, and created the battle plan that we as Christians need today to deal with a society, a country that is increasingly moving away from God, the Holy Bible, and moral principles. He wrote a Christian manifesto now nearly 40 years ago, and its words are just as relevant today as they were back then. Our Christian manifesto today passage from the Word of God is James chapter 1, verse 27, which reads, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." Our Christian manifesto today quote is from M. Michelle. He said, "We hear people talk about renewal and revival. If you want a renewal and a revival, it's based on how you treat the afflicted, the oppressed, and the poor." Beloved, in this podcast, we are using as our text A Christian Manifesto by Dr. Francis A. Schaeffer. Dr. Francis A. Schaeffer writes on Revival, Revolution, and Reform, Part 2. This might be Part 3, I'm not sure. But whatever the case, the Wesley and Whitfield revivals were tremendous in calling for individual salvation, and thousands upon thousands were saved. Yet even secular historians acknowledge that it was the social results coming out of the Wesley revival that saved England from its own form of the French Revolution. If it had not been for the Wesley revival and its social results, England would almost certainly have had its own French Revolution. We should sound the names of some of our Christian predecessors with a cry of pride and thankfulness to God. Lord Shaftesbury, 1801 to 1855, who dared to stand for justice for the poor in the midst of the Industrial Revolution. William Wilberforce, 1759 to 1833, who was the greatest single personal force in changing England from a slave-owning country to a country that turned away legally and totally from slavery long before the United States did. These men did not do these things incidentally, but because they saw it as a part of the Christian good news. God used those involved in the revivals to bring forth the results not only of individual salvation, but also social action and change. Jeremy Rifkin, whom some of you will know as a leading counterculture figure of the 60s, in 1980 wrote Entropy. In this book, he shows that he understands far better than the evangelical leadership often has that the old revivals resulted in social action and change. He quotes pollution and the death of man, the Christian view of ecology, at length in the chapter he calls the Second Reformation, pointing out that there is a different possibility for a Christian answer in regard to ecology. He really understands something, though not as a Christian, for he continues in his pantheistic framework, but he really comprehends that in the days of the revivals and today, there are Christian answers for social action, social change, and answers in areas such as ecology. Christianity does have answers. Now, when we come nearer to home, Wheaton College stands out as a great Bible-believing college, but it is no longer. It is liberal. Happily, Wheaton is not. But what most people do not realize is that Jonathan Blanchard, 1811 to 1892, who was the founder and president of Wheaton College, and Charles Finney, 1792 to 1875, who was the president of Oberlin College, were tremendously interested in the question of social action and change concerning slavery. They were two great voices in America calling out for social action, and both of them said something very firmly. If a law is wrong, you must disobey it. Both of them call, when it is necessary, for civil disobedience. If the Lord tarries his coming and we live, we will continue looking at the topic of revival, revolution, and reform in our next episode. Let's pray. Holy Father God, thank you for teaching us and reminding us that when we have genuine revival, things will change in the country. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you're listening today and you have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, allow me to show you how you can trust Christ as Savior today and be saved from sin and hell and have a home in heaven when you die. First, please accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. And so have I. We all have. For the Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. There is a punishment for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We die physically because of sin. We die spiritually because of sin and are separated from God in a place called hell. Third, dear friend, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Also, the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable, mean, wicked, hateful people, and murderers and whoremongers. You know what a murderer is. You know what a whoremonger is. And sorcerers, people who practice witchcraft and voodoo, and idolaters, people who put anything or anybody before God, and all liars, I am sure you know what a liar is, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, beloved, this is bad news, but here is the good news. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," that includes you because you are in this world. These are the words of Jesus Christ. He said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his name is Jesus Christ." He was speaking of himself. "That whosoever," that word "whosoever" is an old English word that means anybody at any time, "believeth in him," that is, has faith in, trusts in him, Jesus Christ, "should not perish." Perish where? Perish in hell forever, but have everlasting life in heaven with God forever. Dear friend, just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul, and he will save you. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. It goes on, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You will be saved. Do it right now. Until next time, my beloved, please continue to stand for the Lord and his word. God bless you.